Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All over the world, all over the world, nations, churches all over are praising God, are crying out to God in this day and this hour. We're standing and believing God to do mighty and wonderful things. As the darkness gets darker, the Spirit of God gets more powerful, and we become more powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. Grocery, you know, and like I said, you know, we have been in a situation since February 21st. We've not been home since February 21st. And, you know, it's been a year and a half like you wouldn't believe. You know, like I was laughing and said, you know, I've spent more time on a cot than I have in my bed at home. But God, but God, but God. And I want to take time to say thank you because of y'all's continued support. I was able to stay with Jerry. And, you know, he made a statement that he said, if I had not been with him, he said, I was losing my hope. But he said every time I would start to get discouraged, there were times before he had the heart surgery when we didn't know what was going on. And we, you know, we kept saying, well, he's recovering and believing and. And he would say, he said, I would say the right thing, but in my head was, you're never going to get any better. This is as good as you're going to get. And he would begin to get discouraged. And I would, you know, I could tell by a look on his face, he wouldn't say anything. And I'd just say, now, what's the word say? I said, you know, this is a lie. We don't know, but God knows. And, you know, and I may be talking too much this morning, but I want to share a little bit what we've been through. But even to the point of where we were going for rehab, you all can sit down a minute. I don't want you to stand. But even to the point where we were going to get to go to rehab, the hand of the Lord was so much on everything. You know, we didn't know. We tried to go back to where we were before, but they didn't have a bed. And I told him, I said, it just needs to be a private room, and they need to allow me to stay with him because I don't leave him. And, you know, of course, the enemy tried to say, well, you know, that's not going to happen again. You know, how many places have you all been that you see somebody being allowed to stay all time? And I had Jan Morton to contact some people that she works with. I said, you all will know where a good rehab is. I said, give me some names. So she, of all the places in Louisville, which are many, many, because that seems like that's a new business now, open up a rehab or a nursing home. And she said, well, I've got two names. And one was this place on Westport, and another one was called the Nazareth Home, and they have 5-star ratings, which reviews, if you go online, you read them. So I gave the names to the social worker there that was trying to help us get moved and get out of the hospital and all this kind of stuff. And so she came back on Friday morning. She said, they've got a bed. They've got a bed this afternoon down at Westport. And said they're all private rooms. And I said, okay. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll have to have Kenzie or Kaylin or somebody to bring my little old camping cot that I slept on last March and everything. And so the lady that came, that was the liaison person for this rehab center, she came into the room and she said, I was so excited to see somebody from Adair County. She said, I'm from Casey County. Well, I had seen her in the hallway. And she's extremely tall, attractive. And I said to myself, that girl bound to have played basketball somewhere. So she was laughing. And she said, Will said, the only way I ever got out of Casey County was that I played basketball for UK girls, you know. And she said, told me her name. And Jerry said, well, you know, we pastored in Casey. I'm telling you all this to tell you how God arranges things. If you'll just trust him. Because we had no idea where we were going and what we were going to do. And so she keeps talking, and we were, yeah, I know those churches you all used to pastor, and we started talking about names of people that we remembered in Casey County. And then she said, oh, by the way, my brother-in-law, said, what was he used to do? He used to, was it sheriff or judge or something in Campbellsville? And said, now his wife works for the courthouse over there. I said, she does. I said, does she know Rochelle? She says, well, yeah. Said, I know Rochelle. I said, well, that's my son-in-law's sister. Now, that's divine connections.
Yes,
you don't go to a place like Louisville and go to a hospital and somebody come in and you almost know them. So anyway, she says, oh, yeah, we've got a rollaway bed for you. You just stay with him. Okay. So we move. And I tell you what. The first night, let's see, this was Friday night, and that next evening, Saturday night, of course, I don't do much on the weekends. We were sitting in the dining room. It's really, really nice. It's a beautiful place. It was just 5 years old, this place was. And and they have, like, formal dining for those that can dine. I mean, you go in, you think you're walking into a nice restaurant. That's the kind of dining they have. And they come out and they serve you, and they have their own personal chef there that plans. And I'm talking about, I know how bad food can be, okay? All right? I know how bad food can be in these places. But anyway, so we were sitting there, and the first thing they said was the lady that was kind of, I guess she was our aide, she said, don't worry about food this weekend, because the business office said no, said you just go ahead and eat. It's normally $5 a meal. I mean, even a piece of toast and peanut butter would be $5. And I thought, well, I'm not going to pay $5 for a piece of toast. Anyway, so we were sitting there, and you know how we are. We talk. introducing ourselves to people, where we're from and all that. So we got ready to leave, and this lady stopped us. She said, "Did I hear you?" Said, "I didn't mean to be. Did I hear you say you were from Columbia, Kentucky?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I was raised in Columbia, Kentucky." Jerry said, "She said my maiden name was Yarberry, Curtis Yarberry's sister. You know who I'm talking about." Jerry said, "Well, I know your brothers." She said, "I married a Parnell down in, you know the Parnells. They're not married now, but I mean." And so we talked a little bit. Well, then later that night, she comes knocking on my door. She said, "Can I talk to you a little bit?" I said, "Sure." She started coming in, telling me a little bit about her life. Some of the things, bad things that happened, poor choices. When she was 17, she had been drinking, and she had some kids in the car with her. I was too young. I was just about 4 years old when this happened. I don't remember any of this, but in other words, she had a wreck. 3 kids got killed, and she went to prison for it at 17. But she said, "I turned my life around." She said, "It's not been easy. You know, I don't know how long." I didn't ask her how long she stayed. But before she left there, I talked about it. I said, "Well, do you go to church?" Of course, she's in there. She's a permanent resident there because she can't walk. She's had a lot of physical things happen to her. And she just can't take care of herself. She can't live by herself. So she's in there assisted living, you know. And said, "I used to play the piano." I said, "Well, I bet you can sing, can't you?" She said, "Well, yeah, I used to." And so I said, "Well, before you go, I said, do you care if I pray for you?" She said, "No." So I just prayed for the Lord to, you know, I don't know what I prayed. You know how it is. So that was our first night there, second night. And then one of Jerry's physical therapists, you know how he talks, from Muscle County. And so we got to talking, and I think we're kin. Somewhere down the line between the Bernards and the Johnsons. And I say all this to say, and that's not it. Let me tell you something else. So all this time, I would, you know, pay for my meals, except for breakfast. I wasn't going to pay $5 for a piece of toast. And this one little lady that was a housekeeper, she was really concerned about me, the aide. So I would lay my ticket down for her to turn in. And next thing I know, she's coming around saying, "Look what I found in the floor." She'd hand me another one, said, "Use that one next time." Well, I ended up having to turn in my tickets that I'd bought because I didn't need them. Let me tell you what else happened. On this last Tuesday, I had a visitor, my nephew, that I knew he did something in Lowell. I didn't know what he did. I didn't know that he worked for this company, Trilogy, which has several of these rehabs all over Louisville, Lexington, and Indiana. Said, "Yeah," I said, "I'm head maintenance over about 9 or 10 of them." I went, "Oh, okay, Larry." He said, "And by the way, your brother called me when he found out you were at one of our places, and he said to make sure you eat. So I've gone and talked to the chef and told him to make sure he feeds you." Everybody was afraid I was not going to eat. But I'm saying all this. God had it. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know. And he got the best physical therapy. I mean, in the morning, he taught basketball. And in the afternoon, the girl that took care of him was a fisherman. I mean, pastor had it made. And but the favor of the Lord is a shield to the righteous. And see, and you were praying for me. And you know, all this time we've been gone. And I'd look around, and there was money to eat on. And I'm going, God, you're just so faithful. So you see, your prayers worked. And I say all this to say, don't quit. Even though circumstances today might look bad, praise God anyway. Because he turns it right around. He makes it right. You know, I just can't praise God enough. But I had to share about the favor of the Lord. Now, he knew all those people that we almost knew that we didn't know. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to share one more thing, y'all. Just, you know, I've been gone a long time, okay? Our last meal there, we at different times had sat with this lady and this other lady that was with her all the time, and some really bad circumstances. She'd had several surgeries and I don't know what on. So she supposedly was hoping to go home in about a week. And so on our final meal, we got to talking. And there wasn't very many. It was our break. It was breakfast. So a lot of the people, they just have them bring breakfast to the room. They didn't come out for breakfast, but we did. So she sat with us because she was familiar with us, and we got to talking to her about stuff. And I said, "Is that your?" And I share this to tell you, you're going to be confronted with this in today's world, because this is the first time I'd been confronted with it, right in my face. I said, "Was that your sister that's been sitting with you, that's coming and helping you take care?" Said, "No, we're married." We're married. She said, "We've been together for over 20 years. And she said, we got married 3 years ago. And so I said, okay, Lord, where are we going with this? We're in the dining room." And Jerry said, "Have you had problems with your family?" She said, "Well, we really don't have any family. I got a nephew or a niece," but said, it's just where it's been. So I said, "I don't mind to get personal, but I said, do you know Jesus?" And then listen, she said, "I don't know where I'd have been without him." I said, "Okay." I said, "Do you mind if I pray with you?" And I prayed with her. And I prayed that the Lord would reveal himself to her and his word to her. Because she had made the comment, "We're right or wrong, we're married." So I said, "God, I want to handle this the way you would." I could have jumped up and down and I could have pointed my finger in her face and I said, "Do you know what the Bible says about homosexuality?" I could have done that. That's not what God had me do, okay? I prayed that the Lord would open her eyes to his word. And I said, "God, reveal yourself to this lady more than you've ever done before her and show her the truth." Now, I didn't put my finger in her face and tell her she was wrong. Because when she said that, when she said to me, "I don't know where I'd be without Jesus," something inside of me said, "Don't you touch that. You judge that woman. I don't have a right to tell somebody that looks at me with all sincerity and says, I don't know where I'd have been without Jesus. Church, the church has been there in the past and we lost people. And they went to hell. Because the church didn't know how to love and say and correct them with love. Homosexuality is wrong. Adultery's wrong.
Right.
But I tell you what, when I'm confronted with the situation, I'll show them love. Now, she didn't ask me what I believed about it. She knew we were pastors because she made the statement, right or wrong, we've been together. But she allowed me to pray for her that the truth would be revealed to her. And that's how I prayed. You know, church, it's a different world. It's a different world, and it's a tough world. And you're going to have people like that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I have to reveal God to people in the way that I can. And I thank God in the name of Jesus that God's going to show her the truth.
Yes.
Because you know what? She cried. She wept during our prayer. And Jerry said when she walks away from there, she knew somebody loved her enough to pray for her. Whether she understood at that point in time what I was praying or not. And I'm sorry to take so long, but I've got to share with you what we've been through. This is where we are, church. This is where we are. Amen. Amen. But you know what? Our God is greater than anything. And you've got to declare that this morning. Let's stand. And I'll quit talking. And we're going to continue celebrating his praise this morning and declare our God is greater. Our God is greater. Amen. Come on, church.
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine.
Come on now.
Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Our God.
Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While we're in the awesome presence of the Lord, we're going to take up our offering this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you prosper your church, that you prosper the people who give. And Lord God, that you meet every need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And you said, I've been young and old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed gone begging bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. You supply every need. If you need a job, he supplies a job. If you need a place to live, he supplies a place to live. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Come on. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is one song. And if you're here today and regardless of what you're going through and everything, you got to understand that the name of Jesus is the name that takes care of everything. And I want to say one other thing about my family. That I believe I have not only the greatest church in the world, but I believe I've got the greatest family in the world. And everybody ought to believe that. But the support and the love, I know last year when we were going through all that we went through, January and February and March, Mackenzie was needing a job. And she said, well, when Grandpa and Nana doesn't need me anymore, I'll find me a job. It happened, didn't it, sis?
I've had two since then.
That's right. Well, Kaylin graduated from school, came home, and I tell you, she's done everything, just waiting. I tell everybody she has been between career, college, and career. She's cleaned, she's scrubbed, she's worked at Penny's part-time, but she's been there for Nana and Grandpa. And I knew that when we didn't need her anymore to help us out, that job would open up for her, as much as I don't want to see her go. And it's a brand new job. She's starting Monday. So, Pastor Shirley, you know, it's kind of launching, but she's kind of leaving us again. Would you pray over Kaylin? And, of course, Daniel's here. And, you know, we're all going to miss her. And, but I felt led to do that this morning. But while we sing this song, I also feel led that there are other people, new things are starting to happen in your lives, young people. And you just, you know, I don't care what your age is, but it's just like a new thing's happening. And, you know, can I do this? Is that going to take place? You come on up and let Miss Pastor Shirley pray over you. But Daniel, do you and Kay mind coming up and getting a prayer over your new? Go ahead, Kenzie.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to Him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Jesus beautiful, Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will see the glory
that church.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Now I want to say something about this little family right here. Of course, you know, they're my kids, all right? All the way down. I sent a text to Sherry the other day. She said something about Cole getting a MRI done on his wrist. And I said, what's wrong with my son? Well, she thought I had mistaken her for Mary. Not thinking. She questioned Mark, and I said, no, he's my son, you know. But I want to tell you something about this family. They are getting ready to start new adventures, move into a new place, and I want you to know how I admire them. There's been no gloom, doom, despair, and agony on me. The enemy might have tried to bring it about, but I tell you what, all I've heard and all I see, and all that the Lord says he's got for you, is he said, because your soul prospers, I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to prosper you in all your ways and in your health in the name of Jesus. And he said, don't feel like a failure.
Jesus.
Okay, buddy. You're not a failure. You are a blessed child of God. The Lord says, tell you not to carry that because you have got it. Start shaking. I'm telling you what, church, you just watch out. Amen. And now I've got to get back home and take care of my hubby. And but now we'll be listening. And if I miss some of it, I'll get it this afternoon when it comes online.
Tell my hands to talk because my vocal cords don't work unless my hands are moving. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can everybody hear me? Is it working? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank God for divine control.